series, the book of Matthew. If you have your cards, we are in, it's week number 6 already. I can't believe it. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Just a few verses, but a lot of information. You know, it just seems like every verse within the book of Matthew, and certainly any book of the Bible, but the book of Matthew is just chock full of information for us, and there's a lot in between the words. You know, the words, we have something laid down in Scripture, but there's context, and understanding that context is critical. I'm preaching to the choir here, right? I don't have to tell you that, but it's true. Context is very, very critical, and I'll be providing a lot of color commentary, so to speak, as we go through these verses. Now, last week, if we go to Matthew 3, last week we talked about this character, John, the immerser, also known as John the Baptist. He was immersing people, or baptizing people, in the Jordan River in Israel, Eretz Israel. And in the passage today that we're going to be studying, who comes along but Yeshua to be immersed by John? Remember, everybody's coming to the Jordan River, and they're coming for a baptism or an immersion of repentance. Yochanan's ministry was very popular. People throughout the country of Israel would just come in all directions to be immersed and to partake in this repentance immersion or baptism. And Yeshua comes today to do it. What stands out, at least to me, what I was feeling as I went through this and what I felt like the Lord was laying upon me, was this whole idea in these verses of identification. You know, a lot of times it's talked about in rabbinic commentaries and even just Christian understanding theological commentaries about how immersion or baptism is an identification ritual. It is about identifying with the Lord. What happens here, and what's been happening in Matthew, is the Mashiach, right? The Anointed One has come. He has come to earth. He's about to begin his earthly ministry. This is the last thing that really happens before he goes out, as we're going to talk about in chapter 4, into the desert. And then he begins his earthly ministry. But if we think about this whole idea of identification, Yeshua is coming to identify, not only to identify with Yochanan and what he's doing, but to identify with you and I, to identify with the people individually, collectively, Israel. He's identifying also in these verses, as we're going to see, with the Ruach, the Spirit of God. We talked a lot, we sang about the Spirit of God today in a couple of our songs. He's identifying with the Ruach. He's also identifying with Adonai, God the Father. So we're going to see all that identification today in these verses. Now, when you identify with someone, or when you identify with something, you are connecting with them, whether you realize it or not. When we take on an identity, that becomes very much who we are. You know, if you go to a work environment and you put on a uniform, right? That uniform identifies you as a worker in that establishment, no matter what it is, whether you're an astronaut or, you know, a sanitation worker, you are identifying with that company. So identification is an association with, and really, you represent that person if you're identifying with them. So as we go through the verses today, how are you and I identified with the Lord? How is God identified with us? And how are we putting on that uniform of the Lord, so to speak, and identifying with the Lord? So let's think about that as we go through. Okay, turn with me to Matthew 3. I'm going to start with verses 13 to 15. Then Yeshua came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. Now John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Yeshua answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. So what an interesting couple of verses, right? A few verses here. What's going on here? Yeshua is coming to undergo Yochanan's baptism or immersion. And remember, it was a baptism or immersion of repentance. And why would Yeshua come and do that if he didn't have anything to repent about, right? Because remember, Yeshua didn't sin. It talks about that in Scripture. We're going to kind of read a verse or two about that today. There's many of them. But why would he come to be immersed if he didn't need that repentance? Because it was a water baptism. It was a water immersion centering on repentance. It was a preparatory immersion for the coming one. We talked about that last week as well. The coming immersion of fire. The last days, so to speak. Well, you know, why did Yeshua do this? Isn't he sinless? The answer, of course, is yes, he's sinless. And we have to first remember, this event takes place right before Yeshua's earthly ministry starts. If we think about context, when the priests, you know, those ministering in the tabernacle and in the temple, when they would start their service, they would have a long consecration process. And during that consecration process, you can read about it in Leviticus. During that consecration process, what would they do? They would undergo water immersion just before they started their duties or their ministering capabilities there. So we see the parallel. Yeshua is being consecrated before with water immersion before he started his ministry, just as the priests had the water immersion before they started their ministry. You see that parallel there. But there's more. Yeshua is actually identifying with Yochanan's message of repentance. Not, he didn't need to do it, but he's identifying it. By approving of it and by doing it himself, Yeshua, our great rabbi, teaches us what to do. Remember, there's different facets of God. There's the Father, there's the Son, the Mashiach, and there's the Ruach. And each of them has different representative things that they teach us or that they do. One of the things of Yeshua, not the only thing, but one of them, is he's our example. We are supposed to walk after the rabbi walked, right? If we're disciples of Yeshua, if we're his Talmidim, we should walk as he walked. And if he gets immersed, what should we do? We should get immersed. If he goes over here and says this, we should go over here and say this. This is the whole idea of identification. Yeshua, by being immersed, was identifying what to do for us. He was showing us a great example. When a rabbi had Talmidim, he would lead them. He would tell them and teach them how to live, how to speak, how to act, where to go and what to do. They would follow closely behind. And even it says in rabbinic commentaries, the dust of the sandals of the rabbi would come up on all the disciples, right? It was kind of it wasn't a pretty thing. It was kind of dirty, you know, back then. We didn't have paved roads and all that. It was just dirt roads. And that dirt would come up on the disciples. That was how close they had to be to their master, to their rabbi. Learning from him as an example. So as the rabbi gets immersed, we have to get immersed as his Talmidim. And we do that today, of course. We have it every year. We have an immersion at our miknik. Many of you have been immersed during our miknics before. So by undergoing immersion, Yeshua is identifying with the message of Yochanan. But more than that, he's identifying with us by showing us what to do. And he's even identifying with mankind himself. That's the first point today. Yeshua identifies with us. We have a God who has loved us enough to come down and identify with you and I. Now, this is what Adonai has been wanting to do all along. This isn't a new thing once we pass the page that says New Testament and start into Matthew, right? Let's go back to Exodus, almost all the way back, Exodus 3, verse 7. What's going on here is the sons and daughters of Jacob had gone down to Egypt. At some point in that process, they became enslaved under the Pharaoh. They were oppressed, and they cried out. The beginning of Exodus tells us that. I'm not going to read that part. They cry out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses, at this point, is this lowly shepherd. Remember, he's fleed Egypt, grew up in the palace, had to flee because he killed the Egyptian. He's this lowly shepherd thinking his days were gone, done. He's in the wilderness, and all of a sudden, he's shepherding, and what does he see? He sees a bush burning, right, in Exodus chapter 3. So he goes over to the bush, and this is what God says to him. Exodus 3:7. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. Isn't that cool? God of all the world knows our sufferings. He heard their cries. He saw their affliction, and he knows their sufferings. So God knows our sufferings, and he sees us. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll start with verse 6. So remember, God sees us. God knows our suffering. That was explained to us way back in Exodus. God took a lot of time in that book to explain how much he loved us. And of course, we know the story. He brought us out with an outstretched arm. He himself, not a seraph. You know, we read about that during the Pesach, the Seder. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. So we just read from Exodus and 1 Peter, and the same thing is being said. God cares for us. He wants us to come to him with our anxieties, our sufferings, crying out to him, whether we're enslaved in Egypt or we're just having a bad day here in America. Whatever the case may be, he wants us to come to him. This is who God is. This is his identity. The God of all creation, the God of all the universe, cares for us and loves us. Yeshua, the Word of God made flesh, comes down and shows us that he identifies with us. What does he do? He takes on human form and loved and cared for us enough that he identified with our suffering and with our grief. Turn with me to Isaiah 53, verse 4. The Isaiah 53 passage is of the servant. We're going to be talking about the servant of God, the arm of the Lord himself, as it's talked about in the Isaiah chapters in the 40s. But on Isaiah 53, 4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. And of course, this passage is the servant, the Mashiach. We talked about how Yeshua is like the priest when he started his ministry. The Bible talks extensively about how Yeshua is our high priest. So we have this idea of the high priest, and we have this idea of God who's caring for us. God, Mashiach, is caring for us. When we put it all together, we come to passages like Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. Turn with me there. We have a high priest, Yeshua, who identifies with us. We have a God who loves us enough to identify with our sufferings. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. How beautiful is that? In every way, Yeshua was tempted as we are, yet he was without sin, but he emptied himself out of heaven, and he loved us enough to take on human form and identify with us in this way. Now back to Matthew 3, our text today. Let's go to verse 16. What happens next? He comes to be immersed. Verse 16, and when Yeshua was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, came up from the water, right? We believe in an immersion where you go under, right? He comes up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. And he saw the Ruach. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. Now, we're going to talk about some of this identification between the facets of God now. And let me just say, this is one of the few times in Scripture, and I'm going to read from another time in Scripture where all three are there, where all three facets of how God has identified himself to us show up. And we see here the Ruach, the Spirit of God, descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. You've seen all the Christian imagery of the dove, right? The dove and, you know, one of the denomination, whatever you want to call it, Calvary Chapel, their symbol is the dove. And you see the dove on bumper stickers everywhere and all this stuff. The Spirit of God is what the connotation is, the Ruach. Now, there are points in Scripture, as I said, where all three of these facets of God are also found. Turn with me all the way, this is an easy one for you, all the way to the beginning of the book. The whole beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. This is the creation account, very beginning of the Bible, and we see the Ruach there as well. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit, or Ruach, of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I want you to just put in your minds the idea of the Ruach, or the Spirit, the dove, and hovering over the waters. This is very important because There's much to say in a lot of commentary, certainly Christian commentary, about the Ruach, the dove. But there's a lot to say in the rabbinic commentary about that. And I just want to bring all this out to show how the three facets of God as we know them, as God has revealed himself to us, is in a thoroughly Jewish concept, and it goes back a long way. This isn't a new concept for us. This is a very Jewish concept that God wants us to get. Here we see in Genesis 1, 1 and 2, this creation. Heavens and the earth created. Spirit of God hovering over the waters. And we talk about this whole God is one, God is echad. Of course, we believe, just as traditional Judaism believes, God is one. One God. Not three gods, but God is one. The triune concept of God. It's one of the hardest things to wrap your head around, especially for our people, because we're taught the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, 4. Our God is one. We're going to be talking about that. But it's important to note that in rabbinic Judaism, in rabbinic commentary, there's much talk about the Spirit of God. Oh my goodness. Let's talk about that. In the Talmud, there's a reference in the book of Haggadah 15a. Now, this is a rabbinical discussion on Genesis 1, 2, which is what we just read, about the Spirit of God hovering. This is a quote. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters, Genesis 1, 2. Like a dove hovering over its young without touching them. That's a quote from the Talmud. Did you catch that? Like a dove. Now we read in Matthew 3:16 that the dove descends. Same thing. Same thing is going on. Turn with me to Isaiah 42. In the Tanakh we see more about the dove in the prophets section. Turning to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 42:1, again talking about the servant or Mashiach. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit, my ruach, in him, upon him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Doesn't that sound like Matthew chapter 3 to you? I will put my ruach on him, hovering over him, coming down to rest. So putting all this together, the spirit is a distinct facet of Adonai. Don't take my word for it. Take the rabbi's words for it in the Talmud. And God's Holy Spirit and the servant of Adonai are connected. And that brings us to the second point today. Yeshua is identified with the Ruach. Yeshua is identified with the Spirit of God. There's an identity going on there. John 14, go there. John 14, verse 16 and 17. Remember I said the different facets of God have different roles. Yeshua is an example to us. That's one of his roles. What does the Ruach do? Well, the Ruach, as a member of the triune oneness of God, is an instructor for us and a helper for you and I. John 14, 16, and 17, Yeshua's words. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit, the Ruach, of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells within you and will be with you, will be in you. How beautiful is that, right? That's our lives as believers. So Yeshua the Messiah identifies with us, point number one, and Yeshua and the Spirit are linked. Point number two, connecting it together, the Spirit identifies with us. We have the Ruach, we have the Spirit of God in us, if we're followers of the great rabbi from Nazareth, Yeshua. Now back to Matthew 3, one more verse, verse 17. If that wasn't enough, but wait, there's more. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Boy, doesn't that sound like a... You hear that all the time in Christianity, right? That sounds like such a Christian concept, right? Everybody knows this story within Christianity. This is one further identification that we need to talk about. Yeshua is identifying with his Father. Now, the voice that comes down, that's the voice that he hears, I am well pleased with you, right? That voice, that's actually talked about a lot. Guess what? In rabbinic literature, it's called the Bat Kol. Bat Kol. I'm going to quote again from the Talmud just because this is really interesting stuff and we need to know this. This isn't a Christian concept. This is in a book called Yoma, which is I reference quite a bit actually. Yoma 9b. And I quote, similarly, all that remained from the divine presence, we know the divine presence, the Shekhinah, we talked about that. Similarly, all that remained from the divine presence during the Second Temple period was a divine voice, as was taught in a bereta or a beresa. After the last prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi died, the divine spirit of prophetic revelation departed from the Jewish people, and they were still utilizing a divine voice, which they heard as an echo of prophecy. Very interesting. That's from the Talmud. Collection of commentary on issues by rabbis over the last, I don't know, hundreds of years. Now, we don't regard the Talmud as scripture, but it's really good, interesting commentary, provides us context for understanding the world back then, and certainly the world the last 2,000 years. And it gives us an idea how the rabbis perceived God in theology, and they talk about this divine voice, which, as I said, is called the Bat Kol. And they also referenced a beresa or a bereta. And what that is, just so you know, is that is another rabbinical collection of writings that is regarded as just as important as the Talmud, but didn't make it into the Talmud because of timing. The Talmud was codified and written down after a certain period of time, and these beresas or beretas are regarded as very important, but they didn't make it in. But the Talmud quotes from these things. Anyway, you have all these quotes and all these references talking about the Bat Kol. I'll give you one more, because you could say, Rabbi, well, you're just putting all this together. You're just making up this Bat Kol thing. There's this thing called the Tosefta. I have a copy in my office if you want to read it. That's another collection of rabbinical writings. So one more quick reference, Tosefta Sontag 13:2. Listen to how similar this sounds. After the death of Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, the last of the prophets, the Holy Spirit ceased from Israel. Nevertheless, they received communications from God through the medium of the Bat Kol. End quote. That's a quote. Why do I spend all this time quoting things like this for you? Because the Bat Kol, to make the point that the Bat Kol, the divine voice of God, was and is a thing. It was a thing 2,000 years ago. It was a thing in rabbinical writings. It's not a new concept. And this divine voice is identifying, this divine voice of the Father is identifying with the Son here in Scripture. Now, of course, there's certainly Scripture. There's certainly passages of the Tanakh that talk about the Son. So let's go there. Psalm 2. This is a very messianic psalm in many ways, as most of the prophets are. They have prophetic elements to it. Psalm 2, though, is very interesting. Let's read a couple of verses. Verse 7, I will tell of the decree, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that means Adonai, the unpronounceable name of God, the great I am. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Wow, that's interesting. Now we run down to verse 12, Psalm 2, verse 12. Kiss the son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Amen. You and I have taken refuge in the Son, as the Psalms say. God the Father is identifying himself with the Son, the Mashiach, the Messiah, in the Psalms, in the Tanakh. And one more verse before I get to the last point today, the book of John, chapter 10, verse 30. Now, these are Yeshua's words during his ministry, later on during his earthly ministry. And it's real simple. John 10, verse 30. This is how Yeshua links himself with the Father. He simply says, I and the Father are one. That is identifying himself with God. Now, when people heard that, they knew exactly what he meant by that. Point number three, Yeshua is identified with the Father. So another link of identity here. They're linked, Father and Son. Now, I've got one more scripture today before we end, and it's, if you turn there, and I'll set it up, it's the book of Isaiah. Chapter 9, verse 6. Chapter 9, verse 6. I once had a debate. It was a discussion. It was a nice discussion. And it was with a conservative Jewish person. And we were debating scripture and about Messiah and his divinity and who he was. And I said, what about Isaiah 9, 6? And he said, well, what about Isaiah 9, 6? I said, let's turn there and read it. Isaiah 9, 6 says this, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, if this is not an identifying link between the Son that was born and the Father, I don't know what is. And this is all in the Tanakh. This is all in the Jewish scriptures. So here in this passage, Mashiach is equated with the Father. Mashiach is shown to be divine and totally and completely identified together, just like John 10:30 tells us. So in the biblical text today, in Matthew 3, we see, of course, a story about immersion, but we see so much more. Context is everything, right? We go back and we think about what did this all mean as Yeshua was coming to be immersed. It's all about identity. It's all about identity between us and God, and identity with the triune nature of God, with the Spirit, the Ruach, with the Son, the Mashiach, and with the Father, Adonai. We're linking all of this together. God's linking all of this together. And what it all means is Yeshua is the manifestation for us of all that the Lord has wanted to do from the beginning, which is to identify with us as his creation, as his children, linking us with God. We don't serve a God that is far off, that can't identify with our weaknesses and our suffering. We don't serve a God that doesn't want to have anything to do with us because we've sinned really bad. Now, we have sinned really bad, but thank goodness we have a link that is Yeshua, bringing us back to relationship with the Father, bringing us back to identity with God himself. So really the question for us today is, with passages like this, are we identifying with Yeshua? I'm not just talking about undergoing immersion, which we all should do as a public proclamation of our faith in the Lord, faith in Yeshua, but are we identifying with Yeshua? Are you putting on the uniform of Yeshua? And that's just even in subtle ways. As you go about your daily life, as you go to the grocery store, as you go to your jobs, as you interact with your family, are you representing and identifying the rabbi who you're following after? That's a challenge for each one of us, including me. May we walk a little closer to our Messiah. Get a little dirty, you know, because the dust is going to come up, but that's okay. May we walk closer and identify even closer with our Messiah, even today. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you because you love us enough to identify with us, even though, boy, our sins have separated us from you. And we understand that the last thing you'd want to do is identify with us. But Lord, you sent Yeshua. You sent yourself to us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John chapter 1. We thank you, God, because of your mercy and your grace, hearing our suffering, hearing our cries, and identifying with us, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that I can identify with you closer each and every day. I pray for each of us here, each of people watching on the live stream, that you would connect with them, Lord God. Help them to walk with you, Lord. Identify with you. Show our people identity in you, Yeshua. We pray, Lord God, that as we connect with you, that you continue to reveal your love for us, continue to identify with us, and continue to show us how we need to walk along with you. We thank you, God, and we praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.